You know, every time I look at a verse, I see something else, and that'll make my point stronger. All right, let's start with verse 16. This is Paul talking. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Ha, I love it. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now watch verse 19. because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now watch verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves a recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." This is a person that becomes consumed with the end game of sin. It's a seed of destruction that festered throughout their body, throughout their heart, throughout their mind. And they became sin. To the point that they hate God and everything that reminds them of God. This is the sin unto death. They went way past the point of no return. They indulge in satanic activity, and they don't care about the fire no more. They're going to do whatever they want to do. Now, people don't normally get to that point. People can in this life. Why do you think God cut our time down to 120 years? All right. And then because of wickedness, 70. But you can still live 120 years. One day in school, I decided I wanted to live to be 121. And I confessed that. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know about confessions, but I've been saying that. And I stayed here. I protected myself. I expected to live a long time by faith. And I will. I'll live as long as I want to. But I don't think I'm going to get a chance to. I really don't. I believe the Lord's going to return real imminently. But I will live till I'm satisfied with life. I will not die by the hand of Satan, disease, or affliction. I'm going to live as long until I get to be 121 or 120. or till Jesus comes. Anyway. The Lord didn't give us 120. He said 100. I might get 121. I've been saying it for years. But anyway, thank God. You know, how did God do that? Just like the devil give people thoughts, I believe the Lord just gave me that thought and I ran with it. I just thought about that. Because I confessed that for years. Sometimes the Lord give you thoughts and you speak it. If Satan do it, why can't God? Now, you see the difference, the seed of destruction. It changed the natural use of the woman, the women, and then the men did it too. When you see the world doing this, the LGBT propaganda machine, I believe the Lord will return imminently now. Because they're teaching this stuff in schools. And they're teaching crazy stuff, satanic stuff in these schools. And people are falling for it, for money. And people are not saying anything. And people are getting caught up. See, I knew that when Jesus returned, that would be a great divide, an obvious great divide. It was always there in seed form, but now it's obvious. People's hearts are so hardened. The man that couldn't appreciate a good wife and the woman that can't appreciate a good man, they're under satanic control. And their habits are getting out of control. They can't control their emotions. They can't control the way they think. They're losing it every day that they speak those foul words and hear the wrong way. You have to drive out the Canaanites. You can't live in Canaan land and live happily ever after in God's promised land. You can't live there if you allow the Canaanites to stay there. Jesus put it this way. Why put new wine in old wineskins? What's going to happen? The old wineskins are going to break and you lose everything. Put new wine, new wineskins. God gave the Israelites Canaan land, drive out the Canaanites, and you won't have a problem. If you don't, they're going to be like thorns in your eyes and smoke. Thorns in your side and smoke in your eyes. And it happened. What happened to Israel? They got so bad that when God told them that they were going to be attacked and go into captivity, they didn't even ask God not to do it. They didn't plead for help. They thought they could fight their way out of it. And they behind got took right up to Assyria and right on up to Babylon. They got kicked out of their own land. They got kicked out of their own land. What happens to people that don't drive out sin? That don't see, Jesus gave you the ability through the new birth to drive sin out of your life. You can't live with it. Now, I know that preachers, they appeal to people. You know, they're trying to help people that did wrong to get over it and live a new life. I'm talking about the destruction of sin itself. If you don't let it go, it's going to destroy you. It's going to take everything from you. The things of God will stop making sense to you. You won't have appetite. It destroys your appetite for God. It destroys your appetite for knowledge. It depresses you. It pushes you around. The woman that I talked about in yesterday's broadcast, Tongue Power, no matter what her husband did, she had a complaint. He buy a new car. Well, I don't like the color. Or, you know, she nitpicked. She can't be thankful. Eventually, people are going to start thinking she's crazy. And they're going to stop talking to her as if she's not crazy. They may not say nothing, but they're going to think she's nuts. Why? Because she became a weapon against her husband. She didn't intend to, but her immaturity caused it to happen. And the same thing about the man. His friend comes over to watch the Super Bowl and see how he treats his wife. She done made snacks. She done cleaned the house up so they can have a Super Bowl party. She's kind to everybody. And this joker talking about her. And all he want to do is watch the halftime show with the half-naked women singing. Disrespecting his wife. She in the house and they noticed this. One of his friends pulled him aside. Man, well, what's going on? Why you treat her that way? Man, mind your business. Ain't starting up. You, come on. Sin will take everything from you. You don't want to end up like Eli's sons. And I'm saying this not because I believe you will. I'm just saying this is what sin does to people. They may not start out that way. They may not even mean to be that way. But unchecked, it's going to get out of hand. God is patient with people. And it's worth it to continue to do the thing. If you're dealing with a person that's difficult like that, do it in God's strength and use God's wisdom. Sin is corrupting them. Be a blessing, but operate in wisdom. God will give you what to say sometimes and say it at that time. He'll help you when you're dealing with something like that, always the real enemy is Satan, not the person. Any spouse, man or woman, if the woman, she can protect her husband by saying, Satan, you can't deceive my husband. Now, she can't make him learn the word or appreciate it, but she can pray for him and she can take authority over the enemy that's causing him to act that way. But he got to want to do it. And he'll get to what'll happen is he'll get to the point he'll quit. He'll eventually lose his appetite for the things of God. Then he'll lose his appetite for church itself. And he'll stop going. I've seen this happen too many times. And he'll start doing other stuff. If he let his heart get too hard and he get past that point, the Lord will cut him out of her life. But you want God to do surgery. Don't you do God's surgery. You make sure. You try to bring him on into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But the secret is do it in God's strength. Don't do it in your strength. Don't let your strength run dry. Be fully supplied by the Holy Ghost. And live with wisdom. The reason I'm teaching these things is because people have married people. And sometimes they're having a hard life because they become unequally yoked. Their spouse is becoming a stranger. And people don't deal with this enough. I'm dealing with it now. And I'm showing you the mechanics of how things work. The will is formed in the heart. And it's also formed after choices. So you got to watch your choices. Once you choose something, it can become your will. Now, I got this from the Lord a few weeks ago. I'm turning my page. Here it is. Now, I've been puzzled about the will of man and how they do things for a long time. And years ago, he said the will is formed in the heart. Now, he gave me a simple statement to help me understand people better and the will of man. See, I told, there were so many pastors. I saw the visions. I saw what God would do in their life. God, most of them were word pictures. God would have me write down what would happen if they follow him versus if they continue the path they were already going. He said, I long for them to have the best, the perfect will of God. And it can only happen, like I said, the Lord have to navigate you in this. Show you what to watch out for and how to do. That's why I said, do these things. When you're dealing with a difficult person that you love, and they're becoming a stranger before your eyes because their focus is wrong. And then stop the enemy from taking advantage of them and pray whatever God give you, but do it in his strength. And use his wisdom and trust whatever God say. It's dangerous not to trust what God say. If they come around, thank God. But if God divide them out of your life, let him do it. Because when God do it, he sees something. It's appropriate. He said, the will is the sum of your faith and doubt. Your will, the will. Is the sum of your faith and doubt. It forms after your choices. When you make a choice, you made a statement of what you're going to do. Now, sin works like leaven, and also the word works like leaven. So if you do it God's way, your will becomes stronger. If you break through and do the wrong thing, it's just like the gunfighter said, what Glenn Ford said in that Western. He was a sharpshooter. He was good with a gun, but he was not a gunfighter. The difference is he didn't want to kill anybody ever. But when people found out how good he could shoot, everybody wanted, in those days, they wanted to try you. Just like, you know, when I was growing up, if you want to fight, then other people are going to want to come from, they'll come from other neighborhoods to fight you. But anyway, that's how it was, and you know, pride. That's just a pride fight. That's stupid. But anyway, Glenn Ford was the actor. He said, "If you kill a man, it gets easier." And he didn't want to go down that path. That's why I brought that up. And I learned from that. If you kill a man, it gets easier. You can start having an appetite to be a gunfighter. He didn't want to go down that road. So he sold, he became, in the movie, he became a merchant. And he sold dresses and dry goods. And nobody knew what he could do. And they looked at him as if he was just a merchant. And he refrained from showing people what he could do. But he wanted people to know what he could do. And then he didn't want people to know. Why? Because the word would get out. And some ignorant man will come try to challenge him, which had happened. He showed somebody, and somebody kept talking about how good he could shoot. The word got around, and a man came that wanted to gunfight him. But the statement that brought all this up, he said, if you kill a man, it gets easier. And he didn't want to go down that road. So, the Lord said, the will is the sum of your faith and doubt. It forms after your choices. So let that sink in a minute. After you make a statement choice, you form a new will in your life. So you want your will to be God's will all the time. If you trust the Lord, he'll guide you in the greater glories and greater truth. Have the courage to always go forward and learn what you got to learn. When there's a challenge that you can't figure out, ask the Lord. He'll tell you what to do. That's what I did. There are things that were just too big and wonderful for me. I could not figure it out, though I tried hard. Though I searched the word and I couldn't put my finger on it. Just like the will that I'm talking about. I said, Lord, you got to teach me about the will. I can't do it. I want to understand it. And this was recent when he gave it to me. This was back in June. I had a word called covenant balance on June the 16th. And this was after that. So it was in June when the Lord gave me this. The will is the sum of your faith and doubt. Now sum up your faith and doubt. See, faith affects your will and doubt does too. So you desire for faith to be the only part that forms your will, and it can. But it's the sum of your faith and doubt. Now you'll drive out the doubt as you receive God's word. The word, like Pastor said years ago, it's not that we don't have faith. He said, but the word gets the doubt out. And then you can choose greater choices. And you can enter greater glories. So let me start over. The will is the sum of your faith and doubt. It forms after your choices. Then he said this, the will can be chosen. You can choose what you want your will to be. The will can be chosen and developed, encouraged and discouraged. All right, positively speaking, the will can be chosen. A positive will can be chosen and developed and encouraged, and it can ever increase. And then the negative will can be rejected and driven out. You can tear it down instead of developing it. You can discourage it, and it'll be gone from your life. When the enemy tempted me with women, I said, Lord, I want temptation and lust to be like cigarettes. I can't be tempted with cigarettes. What I was saying was, I want you to take me to a point that I can't be tempted with women. And he did it. How did he do it? He taught me to love them with the agape love of Jesus. And the second part, now this was along with everything written, because I studied everything about temptation that I could find in the Word of God and practice it. And every day I would tell Satan, you can't tempt me with no woman and you can't tempt no woman with me. I did all of that. But what really hit the spot was to when he taught me to love them the way Jesus loved me. You can't lust after a person And you can't see them as an object if you love them like Jesus loved you. And it's true. We have beautiful sisters. They're just as beautiful as the women that we like, but we're not tempted with them. We grew up with them and we love them. Think about it. And the love of God makes a difference. So the will can be encouraged and discouraged. So you can control it, though. This is what he's showing us. And then he showed us the promise. He said, purpose is in the living will, while destruction is in the worldly will, saith the Lord. He used the word destruction again. Remember, seed is a sin of destruction. And it's playing people. Now, sin can, I wish that more preachers would teach people that you can hate sin. You don't have to have it in your life. But it seems not to be in that wheelhouse that way. That's why I'm doing this broadcast. One of the reasons, anyway. You can drive sin out of your life. Now, if you're getting to that point where you don't like the things of God anymore, you need deliverance. You can be delivered. Your sin problem is bigger than God in your eyes. But you can be delivered and you can get your joy back. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can delight in the Lord just like people delight in the world. Now, when people's will gets set to do wrong, if God tell you to let them go, that's what you're going to have to do. He'll give them over to their own way. Doesn't mean they're going to hell. They probably will. But sometimes disaster has to happen and people get to where they cry. If they ever get to the point where they look to the Lord, they have hope again. But if they keep getting harder and harder, they're not going to make heaven. Even if they were saved. This is how serious it is. I want you to understand something else about sin. Sin requires a choice and planning. It's a choice that you make, and it gets to a point that you decide to do it no matter what. Now that's when it's real sin. When you look at a woman to lust after, that seed form adultery. But it's still adultery. The thought of it, the wrong, you have to do something, you have to reject it. The enemy will try to impose it on you, but that don't mean that you indulged in it. He will try you. Everybody gets tried. And people don't like to talk about this, and people need to talk about it because it's destroyable. You don't have to live the rest of it. I didn't want to live the rest of my life with crazy thoughts running through my mind while I'm trying to obey God. So I cried. I said, Lord, teach me how to kill this problem. I want all this temptation that I'm struggling with and being aggravated with. I didn't want it. I didn't sit up and decide that it was a temptation. It was just something that the enemy was doing against me. And he stirred up women in the year I got called to the ministry. I saw how much pull he got on the average person's life. Women that would never act that way would pursue me. And I wanted it to stop. And I couldn't control what they did, but I could control my perceptions and what I felt in my heart. And so that's what I was asking the Lord for. I didn't want it there. I didn't want it to be there, but I didn't know how to get it. I didn't know how to get rid of it right. But I did what I knew to do, and I didn't fall. I knew that if I fail, then the enemy would kill me. And I actually thought that I would fall one day. And I feared it. And the Lord worked with me. So if you have a contrary spouse, child, parent, whatever, don't give up on them and help them work through it if you can. It's worth it. Now, I don't know what the title of the Lord is going to give me for this message, but yesterday's broadcast was called Tongue Power. And this is the sequel to it. It's a message of itself, but it's the next phase of it, and I thank God for it. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. The key thing is don't take it personal when people do negative stuff, but you need to understand how to help them if you can and how to avoid these kind of problems in the first place. If you have a good marriage, you got a good spouse, Don't just sit there and depend on them to be good like they are. But you got a good wife. You had a bad attitude before, or no attitude at all. But draw strength from the Lord and depend on Him. And love them like Jesus loved you. Now, there are husbands, I've seen this both ways. There are men that had a good wife and also women that had a good husband. Don't take them for granted. Think about how good you have it. And look to Jesus, receive His strength, and say, Lord, help me love them. You blessed me with a good spouse. I want you to help me love them right. And help me not take anything for granted that they are doing. Help me to see things like you see it. And help me avoid the evil things that the enemy will have me to believe against them. That's the kind of, and see, you can pray those kind of prayers and confessions. What's going to happen? Your will is going to be stronger to be with them, to trust them, to help them, to encourage them. And then God's going to promote you. See, when God promotes you, you have greater abilities. And that's what Satan is after. He's pissing his pants, terrified of a good marriage. I'm going to say that again. He's pissing his pants, terrified of a godly marriage. Preacher, that's rude. He's pissing his pants, terrified of a godly marriage that he can't control. Be a weapon against him. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.